the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon from Cana. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received. Without cost you are to give." Recently, I had a wonderful experience as four of the students that I work with were ordained to the priesthood. They show great promise, and I'm very excited about the way in which they will be serving people. The ceremony took place at St. Dominic's Church in San Francisco. It's a large Gothic cathedral-like building, and it was filled. As I looked out at the crowd, I was especially encouraged because it was a youngish group of family, friends, and very importantly, the people who pray for and with our students as they prepare for ministry. Certainly, I was delighted to see four young friars joining the ministry of our province. For a province our size, these are good numbers and a sign of hope for the future. But as I looked out, I was able to recognize so many faces in the crowd of young people who have decided to do something serious with their lives as they attempt to follow Christ, that I was really encouraged. This brings us to today's theme, the gospel. We have witnessed a display of Jesus' power in the previous chapter, and now we see the handing over of this ministry and the naming of the apostles. The 12 tribes of Israel are remembered in the selection of 12, and the listing of the apostles in pairs echoes the Jewish practice of naming the rabbis in pairs. The apostles are to carry on the work of Jesus, namely to heal, to raise, to cleanse, to cast out. Jesus, our good shepherd, has come among us to preach and to heal, and now he shares his power with the apostles. But the overriding theme here is that Israel is restored, or better yet, more fully realized. The apostles are to give without cost in the great tradition of the teachers of the Torah. They are to adopt a simple lifestyle and prolong the work of Jesus. They're to become a voice to an age that is mired in fear and uncertainty. And as I looked out into the crowd at St. Dominic's, I saw ever so many people who would like to do something remarkable with their lives. They have witnessed the tragedy of our age, people abandoned, without a shepherd, without hope, without direction. We take courage from Paul's letter to the Romans, which addresses our hunger and our great need. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The great thing about our Christian faith is that it is so realistic about our starting point. How is God naming you to do something remarkable in our world? I'm not looking for great, successful adventures. Some people follow such a path, and we thank God for them. They're shining stars for all of us. But no, I'm looking for something less spectacular, something that you and I would do. Make a choice to allow God to love us as we really are, with all our limitations and fears and, yes, even sins. This is the starting point. We need to grow from within and not let the world define us by its many problems. God loves us into being in the first place. Now we allow that love to assume a more conscious form as we choose to let the goodness of Jesus heal, raise up, and bring hope to so many who are trapped by suffering and indifference. And you do that by letting God shine more completely in your own heart. If you let this happen, be ready for some real changes in your life. This can get all idealistic and end up nowhere. So I'm going to ask you to do something very practical. I would like you to enter into a conversation with a friend or someone you trust. I would like you to explore some of your highest ideals with them. It can happen that you may be surprised as you say the things that you really want in life. If you find such a conversation awkward or too cumbersome, you can just write a letter to yourself, a bit of journaling, if you will, and see what arises as you dare to express both your deepest desires and what your following of Christ might be like. It would be a shame to end up saying, I could have done something very special with my life, but no one ever asked me. No one noticed. In a world of many needs, that would be a tragic waste. We need you alive with the love that Christ gives you, a living sign of God's unique love for the world and all its peoples. There's that old catchy slogan used by the United Negro College Fund, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Perhaps an even more compelling urgency arises out of the thought of a soul that is unchallenged or unnoticed. Jesus calls us in the beauty of our church, in the staggering needs of these times, in the gift of our very soul. Today we begin to respond with that dialogue, conversation, that will allow Jesus to call us by name, and we begin to share in the excitement of his life.